BetRivers Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Time now for Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Mike.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville. Kind of a crummy day. Michael, last night, I swear, the house got hit by lightning.
Oh, yeah. It was bad, wasn't it?
Man, did it popped and I jumped out of bed. I thought we were burning down. But it looks like this stuff's about ready to clear out of here. And the rest of the week is supposed to be much better. But that's weather in Kentucky. How are you doing this morning?
Doing good. I'm like you. Yesterday morning, the rain woke me up about 6:30. I usually get up about 7 o'clock. But it was coming down like crazy,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then last night when that storm hit, I'm, you know, it's just, when it comes, man, it comes, I mean, just, it attacks you.
Well, I had, after we left here yesterday, I had a great day for a couple of reasons. Number one, I go home and the Cubs and the Dodgers get rained out or snowed out or froze out or something on Monday night, so they got a doubleheader. So I just turn on the MLB network, and sure enough, game one of the doubleheaders on. Now, we got no shot. We're playing the Dodgers, although they've been struggling, arguably the best team in baseball.
And you're facing their two best pitchers.
Exactly. Clayton Kershaw and Trevor Bauer. Kershaw will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Bauer is, you know, starting to write his resume for the Hall of Fame. And we've got Kyle batting practice pitcher Hendricks on the mound, who has given up 9 home runs in his last 3 games. And we're also starting in the second game, Keegan Thompson, who is making his first major league start. And so we got no shot. And we win both games. That's, you know, I know.
And you win the second one with a walk-off single?
Yeah, well, what happened was we had a lead going in. You know, they're only 7-inning games because they're of the doubleheader, which I don't understand because it's a day-night doubleheader. I can understand, you know, last year they went to the 7-inning doubleheaders because of the suppressed schedule. But, I mean, they're back to the normal schedule. Why are – and it's a day-night doubleheader. They're not playing 2 games in a row. Why are they still 7 innings? But in the top of the 7th, we were ahead 1-0. And we had a home run off of Bauer, and we were leading 1-0. And then Muncy hit a home run off of our closer. And so then they go to that, you know, they put a guy on. We always called it the California rule in Colorado. I don't know what they call it in the major leagues, but you start the inning with a guy on second base. So
do you like that?
No.
Okay. Thank
no.
you. Thank you. I don't either.
I'm a baseball purist. I like 9-inning games. And if you go to extra innings, the first guy up bats. But anyway, so the Dodgers score 2. In the top of the 8th. In the bottom of the 8th, Javi Baez hits a 2-run homer. They don't score in the top of the 9th, and we get David Bodey drives in the winning run, and we walk off in the 8th inning. So so I watch both of those. And I know baseball gets a bad rap. It used to be America's pastime. Now it's been passed in popularity by the NFL and the NBA for sure. And, you know, I had a friend in Denver who used to say baseball was 45 minutes of action crammed into 3.5 hours. And so I understand that there's not a lot going on when you watch baseball, but I still enjoy it and enjoy watching the Cubbies. Now, the other reason that I had a great day yesterday was, have you read any of the Killing books?
No.
I think there's 10 of them.
No.
They're written by Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, okay.
And I think, you know, Bill O'Reilly is a conservative, right-wing kind of guy. And I think, you know, some people who don't agree with his politics probably wouldn't pick up one of his books. But these killing series, there's nothing political about any of them. It's Killing Lincoln, Killing Kennedy, Killing Jesus. It's just a factual account of those tragedies. Well, I pre-ordered the latest killing book. It's called Killing the Mob by Bill O'Reilly.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I know, because like I have always been enamored with organized crime and the mobsters and Babyface Nelson and
I've seen Casino six times.
Pretty Boy Floyd and John Dillinger. So my Killing the Mob book showed up yesterday. And I only read a chapter at a time because I don't want it to come to an end. That's how much I enjoy these books. But the second chapter, and you go back, it's very interesting, because back in the 30s, handling crimes like bank robberies and things like that, that was all up to the state. So if you robbed a bank in Louisville and drove across the river, the Louisville people, the Louisville police force, had no jurisdiction on you. And so these guys would rob banks.
Bonnie and Clyde?
Yeah, out in the Midwest, and they'd drive for 3 or 4 hours and hide out and not get caught. And in the 30s, J. Edgar Hoover came to power. And that's when they changed a lot of laws about federal crimes. That was when they first called it the Bureau of Investigation. It later became the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI. But it was first named the Bureau of Investigation. And all of these crimes like bank robbery and killing a federal agent, those all became federal crimes. And J. Edgar Hoover went off and captured all these guys. But the interesting part, the second chapter in the book is about Bonnie and Clyde. And they set it up. There was one they had an accomplice whose father they made a deal with, because he was kind of at their hideout. And they made a deal with him that his son wouldn't get the death penalty if he would help.
Or be shot on the spot.
Yeah, exactly. Or if he would help them catch Bonnie and Clyde. Well, so he's got a truck. They know the road they're driving down, going to the hideout. And he's got a truck, and he acts like the truck has broken down on the road. And they stop. Bonnie and Clyde stops. And all these federal agents jump out of the bushes, and they shot Bonnie and Clyde's car 167 times.
Have you ever seen that? Did they have a picture of that? I've seen a picture of that with all the bullets.
Exactly.
It's lucky to be standing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I had a good day yesterday. As soon as I get done here, I'm going to go home and read another chapter of Killing the Mob and watch the Cubs tonight.
Now, I don't know how we'd put this up in a Twitter poll, but I think that was one hell of a book review. Okay? No, really. I'm serious. Because I read the one about the Indians. I think O'Reilly read it about...
The Killing of Crazy Horse.
Yes. I read that one. Okay.
Yeah. No, I've read them all.
Have you?
Now, he does have some political books, and I haven't read any of those. But I've read... I think this is the 11th book in the series, The Killing of... Whatever. But the last one was Killing Crazy Horse, and that, of course, was about the Indian Wars in North and South Dakota.
Yep. And also down into Texas and Mexico.
Yep.
But the other one that I read was about World War II, whatever. It was about the Nazis in World War II.
Oh, that with the killing of Patton?
Yes. That was it. I read that one, too.
No, and don't let, whatever your political stance is, don't let the fact that O'Reilly has written these books stop you from reading them, because they are great history books. Yeah.
And the ones that I've read, the ones we just talked about, I'm going to have to read the mob book, but there's no political issues in it. It was just all pure history, step by step.
It amazes me how they go back and get some of these facts, how they unearth, I kind of cheated and read the first couple pages of Chapter 3, and it's about John Dillinger and how they unearthed the fact that John Dillinger was undergoing plastic surgery when they got him. And they were hot on his trail, and he went to a German-born doctor to have some plastic surgery so people wouldn't recognize him anymore. It's really interesting stuff.
The old show, when it came out, The Untouchables.
Yeah.
Remember that show back in the day? That was the first real introduction for me to good guys versus bad guys.
Yeah, Elliot Ness. Yeah, and The Untouchables. When I played for the Colonels here in Louisville,
Elliot Ness showed up.
No. But on TV, we stayed up. You know, it was just our lifestyle. We stayed up half the night because you couldn't go to bed. You had to relax.
Post-game.
You had to relax a little bit. And so we didn't go to bed till like 2 o'clock in the morning. And on the Louisville station, they'd have the news, and then at 11:30, Johnny Carson would come on. And Johnny Carson was on for 90 minutes back then. He later cut it back to an hour, but he was on for 90 minutes. So Johnny Carson went from 11:30 to 1. And then at 1 o'clock, The Untouchables came on.
Oh, really?
And
really?
So I've seen every episode of Elliot Ness and The Untouchables about 6 times. And then after that was over, too, then I'd go to bed.
The Crean, he and I roomed together on the road our last 2 years. Yeah, last 2 years when we traveled. And I know what he's talking about because he loved Johnny Carson. Loved Johnny Carson. And would watch it religiously. And I could get a little bit of Johnny went a long way. I enjoyed him. But you were religious about the Johnny Carson show.
The other thing that I was religious about, do you remember? I don't think it's on anymore. Days of Our Lives.
Oh, we used to watch that before we went to practice.
Yeah, we'd watch Days of Our Lives. And here's the story. We fly into Utah one time, and they've got those chairs where you sit in the chair and you put a quarter in and the TV comes on. So Dampier and I, we get off the plane. Dampier and I get in one of those chairs and we're watching the last part of Days of Our Lives. And so it's over. We go to baggage claim and they've left us. The bags came out quick. They put the bags on the bus and they went to the hotel, and Dampier and I had to catch a cab to the hotel because we were watching Days of Our Lives.
Days of Our Lives was a staple for people who didn't have to work during the day.
Soap opera.
Well, you had a big day yesterday and Dan McDonald. How about that comment Coach McDonald had?
I love it.
Yeah, I do too. I think Crean can roll Dan McDonald up. I saw it this morning. I laughed. I got a kick out of it. And he's right.
He's absolutely right.
I'm ready to open this place up. I'm not going to lie. I'm beyond frustrated. I'm tired of it. We're an outdoor sport. I mean, let's go, people. Turn on the Masters. Watch the Derby. Watch the games in the SEC and in other ballparks. It's an outdoor sport. You want to risk it, you risk it. Like, I'm tired of playing games without people in the stands. So let's open it up and let's let our fans come and let's let them enjoy some Louisville baseball. And then I'll be a little more excited to host a regional because, unfortunately, I haven't had a regional atmosphere yet. Right? Do we not agree?
We agree. We agree.
No, he's, you know, you have to, like he just mentioned, when you turn on the Derby, and I've been vaccinated, I'm not sure that's the 100% answer. I still take precautions.
Sure, sure.
But if you turn on the Derby and there's 50,000 people there, and there is at least 50,000 people there, I would say there might have been a few more. And the people wearing masks at the Derby are in the minority. You've got to be frustrated. And it wasn't, you know, like in the boxes, they cut off every other box, so your box was socially distanced. But you look at the crowd that was standing around the paddock when they were saddling the horses, there wasn't any social distancing there. Nobody had masks on.
Well, they had the infield shots and the same thing.
Yeah. And I don't know who is shutting him down. Is it the university? Is it the city? Is it the state? Who's not letting him have those?
The governor. I believe it. Am I right, Crane? The governor.
Per my understanding, that's what it would be.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the top dog.
Mm-hmm.
It all floats down from him. But it's time. It is time. It's time to open this place up. To your point, I think the Rangers had, until Oaks Day, the Rangers, I believe it was the Rangers, had the biggest crowd.
The Rangers, because they're the only place that's had like 100% capacity.
Right.
Which I don't know.
And they had like 40,000.
Yeah, I don't know if we should be doing that yet, but no, there's no reason why, you know, 50% seems to be kind of what the norms.
What in the world are you talking about, Crean? We had that at the Derby.
Technically 51,000. That's the biggest one so far. Before that, it was Alabama football spring game.
Yeah,
They had 47,000 out of a stadium that seats over 100,000. That's about 50%. That seems to be kind of like what the norm is. Because, yes, there were a lot of people there, but it wasn't, you know, the normal 165,000 that they normally have.
Has Atlanta, have the Braves opened up 100%?
No.
No, the Rangers are the only team in North America that has opened up 100%.
Okay. All
right. And you know this is going to come out, particularly if it's a negative situation, it seems like, in this country. But you got a group that's studying those games, those events we're talking about, and they're going to study them for a couple weeks and see what shakes out, how many people are diagnosed with it,
right?
Out of a percentage, out of the people there. And then the other side, whatever side you're on, the other side is going to get those numbers and try to use those numbers, if they're good, to open things up. So I have not read anything about...
And hopefully they are good.
Yeah,
hopefully,
well, absolutely. Yeah. Well,
we
absolutely
ought to know, especially about the Alabama spring game, because I think it's been 2 weeks since they had the Alabama spring game.
It's been 2 weeks since the Texas opened the season, too, is.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. But I think, you know, some – and I better be careful here. some governors, I think, have stepped out of bounds a little bit, with their edicts and the rules that they have. I think they ought to pay attention to the CDC, not Fauci, because Fauci blows with the wind.
Boy.
But pay attention to what the CDC regulations are. And that's what we ought to be following. And, you know, to say, well, we're not going to open up till half of our people are vaccinated. In a state like Kentucky, we may never have half the people vaccinated. So
there's a number out there of how many people we have had vaccinated. It's for this state, it is an impressive number.
But I think the governor has said it's got to get to 2.5 million
before
he starts really opening up.
Good luck with that one.
Well, where did that number come from? Did he wake up one morning and decide, well, let's see, 2.5 million is a good number. Let's wait. Let's do that.
You know, that scenario might have happened. It might have happened. Oh, but I really, and you did too, really think what Dan McDonald said was
absolutely,
spot on. So. All right, I'm going to put the ball on the tee for you, having your general managers, unless you have something else you want to bring to the forefront.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I've talked about the Cubs and killing the mob, so I'm empty for the rest of the show.
And I'm at a loss of words. Now, Rick Bocic is happy because he's a huge White Sox fan, right? And the White Sox dusted the Reds last night. I mean, dusted. It was 9-0. So I don't have much to talk about. So moving right along. But to your point about the Dodgers, I mean, Trevor Bauer, you know, he's a guy that's, if he continues on the pace he's on, he's a Hall of Fame candidate.
Yeah, no question.
And Kershaw, you know what he's done.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He's first ballot Hall of Famer.
So, I mean, he's throwing the balls in the dirt. I watched this morning on SportsCenter. He's bouncing them in. What in the world?
Not in the dirt, in the grass. They weren't even getting to the dirt. He was bouncing them in the grass.
I saw that this morning. I said, what in the world from this guy? Something's going on. I don't know whether he's hungover.
It was a bad day all around for the Dodgers.
Or he lost money at the track or something. Man, he was not on his game. But saying that, I want you to play GM for us here.
Okay.
Because the conversation is Aaron Rodgers wanted to be traded. Okay? He's done with you. He's done with you. You're the GM. He's done. He wants out.
Right.
And
it sounds like he will stay.
Wait.
If he gets me fired, he'll stay.
Oh, yeah. You got to go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But to the point, Bradshaw has cracked on him.
Right.
Now, Favre has cracked on him. And he wants to get you fired as the GM. What do you do, man? Did you ever have that experience where guys or agents came at you when you were at Denver?
Yes, but not publicly.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. It was always behind closed doors or on the telephone. I never had anybody come out publicly and say, if Issel's still here, I want out. I think they have to do something. Not only is Favre and Bradshaw looking at this situation and commenting negatively on it, the other 52 guys in that locker room are looking at this situation. And, you know, I think they can get a lot for Rodgers.
Would you give a lot for a guy that age? It's a one-shot deal. When you get him, he's got to take you and win the Super Bowl next year. Okay.
The one rumor out there that I found very interesting was talking to Cleveland.
My boys.
Yeah, your Pumpkinheads.
Yes, sir.
Now, there's a situation. You put Rodgers on that team, and they do win. They do have a great shot to win the Super Bowl. I don't know. San Francisco is another one that's been mentioned. I don't know if they're good enough. Certainly Denver, which is another destination that's been talked about, is not. They're not ready to win the Super Bowl if they had two Aaron Rodgers. Miami has two first-round picks the next 2 years, so they could make a nice. But, you know, that's the situation. If you think you're 2 or 3 years away from having a shot at the Super Bowl, then it doesn't make sense to go after him. But I think Green Bay has to do something.
You're Green Bay, so you're advocating doing something.
Absolutely. I shop him around, and I find the best deal that I can make. Now, because I've already played my hand. I've said last year when I took Jordan Love, I've told everybody in the first round, I've told everybody Jordan Love is my. Now he's not ready. Now
the future.
He didn't even play last year. I think he's on a taxi squad the whole year, so he's not ready now. But you have told people that that he's our quarterback for the future. That's who we're going to have a quarterback at some point. So you have to if you're Green Bay, I think you have to move him.
Well, I'm going to play the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, and we'll see. We got a texter here, and the texter says he doubts the governor came up with that number arbitrarily, guessing they consult many experts to set that goal. Okay. That's one thought.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know whether I buy into it, but it's a good thought. Nothing wrong. But
I would like to know if that's the case. Then what I would like to know is how they came up with that number.
You want the calculation.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Don't just tell me it's $2.5 million. Tell me how you got there.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you how I get there to make a trade with you.
Okay.
Right? Now, am I going to swap quarterbacks with you? I'm Cleveland Browns. I'm GM. Am I going
to
swap quarterbacks?
Oh, you have to. You can't bring in Aaron Rodgers and leave. Who's a Cleveland quarterback?
Baker Mayfield
on the roster.
I went brain dead on his name. Yeah. Well, but why would I do that? Because I don't think I have a quarterback in waiting. So now if Aaron Rodgers is 35, 36, and he could take
37.
Me 37, he could take me to the Super Bowl. But I got to think long term. Now how do I make this trade with you? But how do I, you know, where do I turn to get a quarterback, young quarterback that I can bring along? Because Rodgers' time is limited.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a case to be said. If you're ready to go for it, you better go for it right now and worry about a year or two down the road. But I don't see that happening because Green Bay, I'm not going to trade Rodgers for Mayfield straight up. I mean, you've got
to throw a little juice in with
you've
it.
Got to come, okay. You've got okay. to come with something else. And there are teams that can put together, I don't know what packages I've been presented with, if any, because I've told people we're not trading him. So don't even bother calling me. So I don't know if they've even explored what Denver or Miami or San Francisco would be able to offer. But if it was me, I'd be taking those telephone calls. I wouldn't be telling people, don't call me because we're not trading him.
We do have some breaking news at the czar of the transfer portal. I figure you should know this, Mike. Quinn Slezinski, Louisville forward, has entered the transfer portal.
Wow. He got some nice run this year. You know, he had some solid ball games. He's just a freshman, right?
Either redshirt freshman or a sophomore. One.
Okay, wow. That's, man, I'm telling you.
This thing's gone nuts.
Yeah, I mean.
Absolutely nuts.
It's like the high school kid that left Kentucky, and this kid, he got minutes. What are you running from?
Or more importantly, where are you running to?
Yeah. Well, your point, you said that all along. Some of these guys are going to be left when the music stops with no chair to sit in.
Exactly.
But no, I thought that kid made a lot of strides this year. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. I think, I mean, there were going to be Louisville has a lot of wings. Like, that's where the strength. Well,
sure,
I mean,
sure they do.
Yeah. That's where the bulk of their talent is going to be next year. They have a lot of wings. And I think because of a lot of the guys they've brought in, maybe, I guess, you just felt like you didn't really have a spot to play as many minutes as he did last year, something like that.
I think these guys have to be very careful.
Absolutely.
Very careful, because what they're getting, you know, grass is always greener on the other side. And if somebody promises you, if you're at XY school and they promise you minutes and touches and all that stuff, they're lying to you. Because if your team's going to be any good, and if your coach is an experienced, solid coach, you know, he's going to make you compete, right? You got to go out there and compete every day. But if he's promising minutes or touches or alludes to that, I understand I've been told a lot of times coaches allude to the fact that you're going to get your minutes.
Yeah, and if you don't, then you go to the transfer portal. I think a lot of these kids, you know, coming out of high school, there's still that question mark. You know, how good is he going to be? What's his work ethic going to be like? You know, how much can we count on him? And some of these kids, after being in school for a year or two, they get exposed.
They do.
And once you take away that question mark, once you know what you've got, you know, some people are going to back away from you. So, yeah, it's the transfer portal's just a bad idea.
I'm the czar. You going to fire me? All right, let's take a break, and we'll be back on the Issel Pratt call-in, celebrity call-in line with our good friend Randy Embry, scout, former Kentucky player, terrific high school coach, won a state championship, and he's been scouting for the Lakers for quite a while. We're going to bring Randy in after the break, after Crean sells something.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
You're locked on Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville. And Crean, pay attention. Were you listening to the end of that? As Mike took us out, were you listening to the end of that? Yeah, he made another mistake. I was listening carefully. He made another
turnover,
mistake.
Turnover.
He got Randy Embry a new job. Randy used to scout for the Miami Heat, but now you have him scouting for the Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, I talked to Randy last night, and he and I were talking. He and Lou Ann would like to move to California to have more sun, and that was kind of in my mind. You know, they want to move out and get some sun in the later years of their lives. I might have got him a raise, too, you know.
Randy scouts for his good friend Pat Riley with the Miami Heat, and he's going to join us here in a minute. During the break, we did see one of the offers for Aaron Rodgers. Supposedly, the Denver Broncos are offering Drew Locke, their current quarterback, the cornerback Satan that from Alabama that they just drafted, and the first round pick next year and the following year. So all of this stuff, Green Bay's got to be listening to these people, and when deals start coming, then you know there's something there. So
I guess Green's still efforting, Randy. We got him.
Yep. Randy, I don't know if you know this, but you now scout for the Los Angeles Lakers. Your good friend Mike Pratt got you a new job and hopefully a raise. Thanks for joining Sports Talk with Pratt and Issel. Randy, how are you?
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message.
Jeez.
Well, Crean, that's 2 turnovers for you, Crean. I've got 1 here in the first half, the first hour of 2 hours. I turned it over once. You got 2, man. You believe that? How about that? You know, I'll have to say, Crean took a beating from the Sweeney man in the 3 to 6 o'clock show last night.
Last night?
Yeah. For Sweeney man was on him, man. He was on him about getting an IU guy. And I'll have to defend Crean. I challenged Crean. You were there.
Yeah, that was your idea, right?
Yeah, I said, get us somebody to talk about this.
We're all purpose here. We're Indiana. We're Louisville. We're Kentucky. We're not like these other guys on this station. If it's not red, it doesn't play. So, oh.
There we go.
You ready for another message?
I am.
Randy, we've already introduced you 3 times, so just come on the show. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Thank you. Appreciate y'all calling, getting an opportunity to talk to you. Good weather down here in Owensboro. The sun's out and quit raining.
Yeah, well, I hope it's headed this way because it quit raining here, but it's still pretty cloudy. No, we were making fun of Pratt because when he said you were coming on the show before the break, he said you scouted for the Los Angeles Lakers, so you'll have to move. You'll have to move out of Owensboro.
Well, They're rolling. Well, they're hurting right now, but as long as they keep Davis healthy, they're going to be awful hard to beat.
Well, I told Dan, I said, look, Randy and Luann just want to go out to California and just kick back and have a good time, so I thought I'd work a deal for them with the Lakers. You know,
I'm all for you. I need a lot of people helping me out, tell you that.
Randy, help us out. We were off the top of our head. Were you a senior when Pat and Louie were sophomores or freshmen?
They were sophomores. My senior year was a year, of course, for Runts, and Louie and Pat were starters on the team as sophomores.
Well, we talk enough Kentucky basketball here. And with your success as a coach, as a scout, now I'll have to clue Dan in. This is the guy that convinced Riley to take Wade. How about that?
He scouted
him, found him. You know, I mean, no, he led the charge, I was told. Not by him, but by other people that, you know, he saw. You saw Wade play a lot against Louisville and some other, what was it, CUSA then, were they in? Marquette?
Yeah, Marquette. And I saw him also play on the road. I saw him play 3 or 4 times live his last year at Marquette. Of course, he had the great run against Kentucky in the NCAA tournament. But I saw it might have been the last game of the season that last year he played against Louisville. And everybody was concerned about his shooting ability and could he play a point guard. A lot of people wanted him to play a strictly point guard. Well, that game, Louisville had a Gaines, I think his name, a guard that was really good, got drafted like maybe 16th in that draft. And he was trying to guard Dwayne, and I saw, you know, a lot of his ability there. Plus, they had him playing the point a lot. saw that from him, and also he hit two threes that game. So that really sealed the deal with me. But Mike, if you remember that draft was a great draft.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Randy, I think people would be interested to know exactly how you work. Are you given a list of players, a list of teams to scout, or do you just scout a certain area of the country? How does that work?
Well, as you well know, we live in the best part of the country for basketball. You know, everybody loves basketball in this part of the country. What we do, we interview some coaches before the season starts, asking them for players in their area they thought might play at the next level. Then all the scouts do that. Then we send it to the office, and they put it into a book form. So if I'm going to, you mentioned Louisville a minute ago, if I'm going to go watch Louisville play, I'll look and see who they have listed, you know, to watch from Louisville. And we always write up those guys saying yay or nay. And if anybody else in that game, it looks good, it's not in the book, we also will write them up. That's how we do it. And I'd say most teams probably do the same thing.
Now, we've talked on this show, and we've had guests that have talked to Dave Neal, play-by-play in the SEC Network, Tom Leach. And how difficult was – I mean, last year was difficult for everyone, but to do your job, because you couldn't do it as you typically have, how difficult – and tell us what you did.
Well, it is tough. Obviously, Mike and Dan, as y'all well know, it's a lot easier to evaluate a player in the game or before the game and warm-ups and that type of thing. And of course, this year we did not get to do it. So what we did, they sent us a list of players they wanted us to particularly watch, and so we tried to get them on TV. And they had an app set up on the computer where you could look up that player and get some information. Also had a list of all the games where you could watch games that way. I probably saw more games this year than I did last year or 2 years ago.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned before the game, because we had this conversation yesterday. One of the best talent evaluators in my mind is Jerry West that worked for the Lakers and then for Memphis.
Yes.
And I made the point that Jerry might leave the game early, but he always came early to the games to watch the players in warm-ups. What exactly are you looking for there?
Well, one thing you want to know, you know, most teams now, not like when we play, they get out there, some of them, 2 hours, hour and a half before the game. Some of them work with the assistant coach and really, really work on the game. Then they go back in and then come out and do the regular warm-up that all the fans get to see. So I always go early. I like to watch that and see who's out there. If so-and-so, who's wanting to improve their game in this type of player that you'd be interested in. But I also, Dan, I like to go and watch how they shoot the basketball. A lot of times I stay underneath the basket back a little bit and catch the rotation and the follow-through. I'm a big believer on how you shoot the basketball. If you shoot the ball what I consider correct, what stuff I've read about, you're going to be pretty good every night. You might have a great night, like an off night, but if you don't have good shooting form, you're going to have a bunch of bad off nights.
Well, when you sit and talk, or you're watching the players, but I noticed, I've been out there and I've watched you, you'll sit and talk to the assistants. I guess you're picking their mind about different people. And that's something you have to get there early to do that.
Yeah. Assistant coaches will give you a lot of information, especially if you know, been around a little bit and they kind of know your face or something. And you can get a lot of information that maybe you wouldn't get from the head coach. And I enjoy talking to them. All of them are nice guys. And, of course, all of them are looking for that break to maybe move up also. So they're usually eager to help you any way they can.
Well, now, our producer, Jack Crean, right here at the studio, IU guy, Randy, IU guy, went to IU. He could tell you, he could give you the history of IU back to Branch McCracken, okay? So what affects, you're right there across the river from Indiana and Oldsboro. What affects, tell us what you have seen some from your IU fans as far as Mike Woodson.
Well, the only thing, of course, hearing is what I know the new AD. If I met him a couple years ago, Scott, I really like him. And I really don't know Woodson, but everything I've read about him, and they have usually a local paper, Louisville, has an article about Indiana basketball every week or so. And it's kind of like the first time, you know, it's a honeymoon right now. He hasn't lost any games yet, but I hope he does a great job, because I actually as you were talking about, I live closer to IU than I do to Louisville or Kentucky.
Now, let's go back to draft night. Do you go? Are you in the war room on draft night? Are all the scouts in there?
No, we do not do that. I don't know who all's in the room. Of course, we got the best evaluator, decision maker in pro basketball, and Pat Riley. So I'd say whatever Pat said about a player, I probably would agree 100%. But no, I do not. What we do, we send, this is tough, what we have to do. We send in, right before the draft, we'll send a list in 1 through 60 who we think's going to be drafted and what order you think they're going to be drafted. And, man, that takes 2 or 3 days looking at it, to try to get where you're halfway, satisfied. So we do that. So they have all that information from the other scouts. Now, they might call you. When Bam was going to be in the draft, they called me right before the draft and one of my last evaluations of him. Of course, we ended up getting him, which was a great draft.
Absolutely.
Well, bring us up to speed while we have you on Bam and Hero down there. I mean,
my wife and I went down 2 or 3 weeks ago for a week and saw everybody and everything, and we saw it was on national TV on a Sunday afternoon. We saw the game where Bam hit the last second shot. The last second shot to beat Brooklyn. We were there for that game. Of course, that was a great game. Both teams played real well and shot the ball well and not a lot of turnovers. So it was a great game. But they love Bam and a Hero down there. Of course, you well know you like guys who can play and also guys who can play who play hard. And both those guys definitely do that.
But their work ethic, I think, is right into that culture that the Heat has.
Yeah, you gotta be ready to put in some hours. If you're gonna be associated with Pat, because Pat's a hard worker and all that, and he's not going to keep a guy around who doesn't want to pay his dues.
What's your next step? We'll try to wrap this up and let you get to the golf course because it quit raining. But what's your next step? Are they going to have the open workout like they typically do in Chicago later this spring or early summer?
Yeah, right now, of course, the way it is, the world right now, everything can change the drop of a hat. But I think the NBA combine workout in Chicago, I guess they're still going to do it in Chicago or in that area, starts June the 21st and runs through June the 27th.
Now,
that gives a player who maybe, well, first of all, you hope you get invited, and might give the player a chance to have a real good week there and move up ahead of somebody. So, if you're really up there high already, you might not want to participate in a lot of things, but you might hurt yourself. So, but they're still, as of right now, still planning on doing that.
That was when I was doing this, Randy, I don't know, 15 years ago. That was one of the things that the top three or four guys wouldn't work out. They'd come in for their physical and their interviews. And then it got, by the time I left, it got to almost where the whole first round wasn't working out. They were just doing that. Is that still the case?
Yeah, a lot of them, yeah. And also, Dan and Mike, y'all sound a whole lot alike. also, if you notice, they have those scrimmages, and some of the lower top 60 might participate in that. And if they have a good day the first day, they might not participate the next day.
Hmm.
That goes on. That goes on too.
Well, everybody says how difficult this year is as far as evaluating college players, okay, that they haven't had a chance to really get their arms around. But I think the same thing could be said for you guys, because no one has really had a hands-on look until, what you say, June, right?
Yes. Well, it's a lot easier to evaluate a player if you see him play live than it is on TV. Some of these TV announcers, you don't know what they're going to talk about. if the camera doesn't, if not a good cameraman, you might lose sight of him for a little while. But it's a lot easier being there in person. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Randy, I know we sound a lot alike. Here's how you make the distinction. If it's a stupid question, it's Pratt. If it's a real intelligent question, it's Issel. That's how you tell
them. Well, y'all both are I enjoyed you both are great basketball players at all levels. And, of course, the main thing I'm talking about now is at Kentucky. And for a big guy, Dan, you had the great shooting ability, and that always helped. And Mike has always had the great ability to use the glass on drives. I was always impressed with his ability to do that.
Wait a minute. I like to think that my great ability was passing the ball to Dan. But, come on, man. You were a guard. You know what I'm talking about.
Randy,
yeah, that was a smart thing. I had a guy I had to throw the ball to when I got to play a lot, a guy named Cotton Ash, and he did a lot of scoring.
He's pretty good, too, right?
He was pretty good, too.
Hey, could you write us your next report to the Heat? Could you write up Mike and I? Well, maybe we get drafted again.
Well, I want to tell you a funny story. They might not have thought it was funny. We had a phone hooked up one day, all the scouts, and I can't remember who. Pat wasn't doing it. Somebody else was doing it. And this guy finally said, if you're going to draft somebody from UK, who would you take? I said, I'd think Cotton Nash and Pat Riley. I think that's a pretty good answer for that station.
Boy, you liked your job, didn't you? I mean, yeah, you get a little job security, brother.
Yeah, Pat took care of me. I want to hang out a little bit longer.
There you go.
Somebody said, how long do you want to do this? I said, as long as I can find my car keys and get home, I'll probably keep doing it.
That's great. I love that. Randy, we appreciate you, man.
Okay, I enjoyed talking to you, and look forward to seeing you later.
Thanks, Randy.
We'll talk later on about who you're going to pick. You'll give us a tip, right?
Okay, thank you. Enjoy talking to you both. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He blew me off there. Yeah, he didn't want to give me a tip.
That's interesting. When I did it, we would have all of our scouts come to the war room because, you know, I guess now with, you know, phones and Zoom and everything, you can get in touch with them as quick as having them in the room. But when I was a GM in Denver, one of our scouts was Wayne Chapman.
Yeah,
Rex Chapman's father, and we would bring all of our scouts. I think we had four, and what we did, the way we did it, is we would divide the country up geographically. And we'd have a guy in the Northeast, and Wayne was the guy in the South, and one in the Mountain, and one on the West Coast. But we'd bring them into the war room so that if we had, you know, a question about somebody, we could get an answer absolutely. But he brought up something that I think most teams do, and that is you have a board just to keep from making mistakes. You have a board and drafting for need instead of taking the best player. What we used to do is you had a board with 1 through 60. And as people picked, you took the names off of the board. And when it came your time to pick, it was real simple. You take the guy that was left highest on the board. So I do like that, having your thoughts before you go into the draft. You start trying to evaluate people and pick for need, you're going to make mistakes.
You know, that's interesting. A quick story before we go to a break. And we have Vince Morrow, the associate head coach.
He coaches at Kentucky, Mike.
Thank you. The associate head coach. Thank you.
Are we sure he's not a coach at Toledo?
He played at Toledo, played football at Toledo. Okay, anyway, here's the story to your point. The day before the draft, we're all in down at Charlotte, okay? And Dick Harder's the coach, Ed Badger's an assistant, and Gene Littles, who was director of player personnel, myself, Tommy Jorgensen, you know Tommy from out
absolutely.
There. We're all in there talking about players and trying to work our board, like you said, you know, moving people around. And Dick was a strange guy in that he never liked anything. He wanted to trade. He was kind of like your boy Larry Brown. He wanted to make a trade.
Back the truck up.
Yeah. He wanted that trade. Then when the guy got there, he didn't like him. Okay. So we're going through all these players. Everybody's chiming in. We're working our board. This is the day before the draft. Okay. And finally, we come to a standstill because Harder didn't like somebody. And the greatest line I heard, it was quiet in this room. We'd been in there for 4 hours. They brought lunch in, all that crap. Ed Badger just looked around. He said, guys, let me tell you something. There are no passes in this draft. Everybody's got to take somebody.
So you better find somebody you like.
Yeah, because he was just tired of being there. He's going like, you know, we got to like somebody. We're just beating our gums. Ed had a way to cut it down. So, all right, let's take a break. We're going to come back with Coach Morrow. And this is Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.